Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I'm excited to be with you today. Have an awesome opportunity to, it's certainly blessed me and helped me here as we are into Easter week. I talk about movies a lot on this show because I'm a movie buff myself. They are a powerful tool to reach into the media for good or for bad. And most of the time it's for bad. It's rarely, if ever, neutral. And that's why we talk about it regularly. It's a big part of life in America. It's a big part of a lot of people's lives. And so, I sway into that because I want to. I enjoy it. And it's very powerful, and it can be a great tool for us in the kingdom of God. As you know, I talk about it, like I said, regularly. Well, over the last couple of nights, I had an opportunity to watch the first four episodes of a brand new series that's just come out called The Chosen. It's available. You can get to it. VidAngel.com. You know, VidAngel, a great organization that allows you to, filter out most of, if not all, the garbage that you see in movies. This is really a great story of VidAngel itself. But VidAngel.com/The Chosen. And this is, really follows the life of Christ, the story of Christ from several different pictures, perspectives outside of, the norm. And so really kind of using the Bible as the guide, obviously. And it's really been just so awesome. It's beautifully shot, really well acted. Oftentimes, most of us have a pretty low bar when it comes to Christian movies, unfortunately. And a lot of that has to do with budgeting and so on. But in this case, it's just absolutely spectacular. Just a beautiful movie. But the story itself over the last four episodes that I had a chance to watch, like I said, just over the last two nights, absolutely stunning and incredible. And just such a, it's kind of like switching versions of the Bible, and you get a different take if you're reading the New Living or you're an NIV or whatever. This is really a beautiful way to kind of come at Jesus from a different direction. And the man behind all that, that God plucked up and has been using for a while in that arena of making movies, Dallas Jenkins, who is just slammed, I'm sure, right now. Dallas, thanks for joining us today, man. How are you?
Oh, so great to be with you. So I'm slammed, but I'm happy to do this. Love talking to you about it. And just a really quick, you mentioned God plucked me up for this. I think that's true in some extent, but I'd probably use the word knocked me down for this. I think that's the best way to describe it. Is I wasn't ready to do a show like this until I had really been knocked down and on my knees about it. So it's been a really cool ride, and especially now that it's got to see the response people have had to it.
Oh man, yeah, just amazing. And yeah, you're referencing, I mean, one of your recent movies, The Resurrection of Gavin Stone, which didn't do well at the box office. And I think coming out of that, you literally didn't know whether you had a future in film. So tell us about that right quick.
Yeah, The Resurrection of Gavin Stone was this great opportunity that I had with some of the biggest producers in Hollywood to release a faith-based film nationally. And I had a really bright future. They loved the movie, and there were future films lined up. And then when it bombed at the box office, even though, you know, people who saw it really liked it, but it just didn't get the numbers. And so all of a sudden I had no future. And I poured myself into this short film for my church's Christmas Eve service. It was about the birth of Christ from the perspective of the shepherds. And I've been a believer my whole life. I've heard all the stories hundreds of times. I've watched every Jesus project ever made. I'm a strong believer in the Bible, but I thought, maybe there's a way to really revive and refresh my passion for these stories by showing them from a different perspective. So I did this short film about the birth of Christ from the perspective of the shepherds, and it was just intended for my church's Christmas Eve service. And long story short, that was the catalyst that ended up allowing this series to be crowdfunded by over 15,000 people to the tune of $10 million plus.
Wow, man.
And it was all came from this little short film I did on my friend's farm in Illinois. And so now today, as we speak, the first four episodes have been released, and as you said, they're out there and having an impact. And so, the journey to get here is almost as interesting as the shows themselves.
And so how do you come about? I mean, obviously we have the number one source for all of this, and the Bible is the source. It's not a source. A lot of churches struggle with that. But how do you then come up with this, Dallas, that kind of coming at the life of Christ in a biblically accurate way? And we're going to talk to Rabbi Jason Sobel a little later in the show to talk about that, who was, you know, kind of your chief strategist there dealing with the biblical content of it. But how did you come up with the story and who to bring in and these different perspectives? It's really captivating.
Yeah, thank you. Well, we start with the fact that there's never been a multi-season show about the life of Christ. There's been movies and there's been miniseries, but there's never actually been a multi-season show where you can really dig into the characters and really take time with them. And all of the Jesus projects that I've seen, a lot of them I've loved, a lot of them are just verse-by-verse narrations of Scripture. And so that's all been done, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I thought, I binge-watch all these other great shows, and the thing that stands out is character. I always really dig into the characters. I fall in love with the characters. I see the world through their eyes. And I thought, man, if we could get the audience to see Jesus through the eyes of those who actually met him, maybe they could be changed in the same way that these people were. And so we started with, what do we know in the Gospels? Because I don't want to change anything. I'm not writing a new Gospel. I'm not changing anything that's already there. But I do want to add some backstory and some historical context and some biblical context that maybe we haven't thought of before. And then in doing that, we can then allow people to see Jesus through their eyes. And so what we do is we start with what we know, and then we work our way backwards. So these first four episodes, the majority of the episodes are covering characters like Simon Peter, Nicodemus, Matthew the tax collector, and of course Jesus, but covering these people before they met Jesus so that their encounter with him is even more impactful because you can really dig in with them. So we picked the characters, like I just mentioned, that we found to be the most dramatic. So Simon Peter, Matthew the tax collector, for example, someone who's hated by the Jews, disrespected by the Romans, doesn't have any friends. That's very dramatically interesting. And so then we take what we know in the Scriptures, we take what we know about the historical context, we take what we know about human behavior, and then we really humanize these people in a way that I don't think has been done before, at least that's in a way that I haven't seen before.
Yeah, and again, I mentioned we're going to talk to Rabbi Jason Sobel later in the show, but it was obvious, you know, I've got 48 hours of seminary training behind me and all kinds of stuff and years doing radio. I mean, I'm paying attention to that as I'm watching these episodes. And by the way, everybody, just go to thechosen.tv. That's the place where you want to watch The Chosen. And I would strongly urge you to get going on that right away, especially given Holy Week. Really has been a blessing to watch it and to go through it. It's just so cool just to come at the gospel story and Christ himself from a different perspective. TheChosen.tv. But I was particularly taken, Dallas, and I'll talk to you this about the after the break, of the story of all these little kids that end up spending time with Jesus when he's out kind of outside of Capernaum. And that type of angle just really was fetching, to use kind of an old-fashioned word. So I'm going to talk to you about that when we come back. I'm going to put you on hold real quick. Dallas, thanks for being with us. The Chosen, which is just starting, just out. Man, it's just awesome. TheChosen.tv. I just loved it. Just loved it. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show talking about The Chosen. You can see the first episode for free. Just go to thechosen.tv. It's a beautiful series. The full series of eight will be available this fall on VidAngel, their streaming service. And you can actually get to all four of them, but the first one's for free. Thechosen.tv is the website you go to. We're talking to Dallas Jenkins, who is really the man behind this effort. And God knocked you down, Dallas, then brought you back up. And I want to talk about the children in a couple of these episodes, because it's just fascinating to watch his interaction. And it really gives you a neat kind of like you said, I mean, you're a biblical Christian. I'm a biblical Christian. We know the word fairly well. And I'm always checking things against that. But everything I've seen in here, even though it's kind of coming at the gospel story from a different direction, is all consistent with what we know about Christ through the Scriptures and especially through the Gospels. But the filming the children thing, that must have been a pretty cool experience.
Oh, yeah. And the writing of it was unlike anything I've had. I wrote that episode in about a day and a half, which typically it takes weeks, and then we have rewriting, and it really came together quickly. So what you're talking about is episode three is what we call a bottle episode. So in television, sometimes you'll be watching your favorite show, and then there's an episode that just takes place in one location and with just one or two of the characters. And we did that in this, where it's Jesus out in the middle, you know, kind of camping in the middle of nowhere. He hasn't started his public ministry yet. He's still kind of traveling on his own. And a group of children come across him in the middle of nowhere and wonder, you know, they see his campsite and they're just wondering who he is. And they think he might be a criminal on the run. They just have no idea. And eventually they approach him, or he kind of makes them welcome, and they start talking. And we see, I think we can describe the episode almost as a preview of his public ministry. Like he teaches the kids some things. He gives them some wisdom. He teaches them how to fish. There's all these little things. But also we see Jesus by himself. We see him making food. We see him coming back from a day of selling some of his carpentry work in exchange for the food. We see him praying before he goes to bed at night. We see all these really human moments. We see him dressing one of his wounds and making a fire. And so we've had a lot of response, even more than I thought we would, of just absolute love for that episode, because we get to see Jesus interacting with children and kind of giving us a taste. And like you said, this isn't in Scripture. I mean, you don't see it. There's no story in the Gospels of Jesus interacting with children off when he's, you know, camping in the wilderness. But all of the principles, all of the things he teaches them, they all came from what we know in the Gospels. They're all done with the intention of Scripture, and they're written by and directed by a guy like myself who believes in the inerrancy of the Word of God. And then to answer your question, directing it was really cool, because we had moments, and I think you probably know what scenes I'm talking about, where the kids are reciting Scripture to Jesus, and the look on his face.
Oh man!
We had people on set who were crying, and who said before they even saw the episode, just from being on the set, they said, "I feel like I know Jesus better today than I did previously in my life." And I think that's something that we've heard over and over and over again from these episodes, is this show connected me to the real, authentic Jesus almost more than any time in my life. And now my Scripture reading is even more enhanced and has come to life even more from watching these episodes.
Yeah, so cool. And it's beautifully shot. I mean, the cinematography, I mean, I mentioned this earlier, you probably heard me say this, you know, most of the time I think we lower our expectations for Christian films and Christian media like this because we know where there's budget constraint and so on and so forth. But in this case, I was absolutely blown away the whole time, Dallas, by the quality of the filming, the cinematography. The sets are spectacular. The locations are spectacular. And I was just blown away by that. So tell us a little bit about the crowdfunding, because it's really miraculous how that came together, and then the actual production itself.
Yeah, so when I was approached by VidAngel, which is an amazing streaming service, and it's on the rise, and our family loves it, but they approached and they said, "We love your idea for the show. We think it's great. We saw the episode or the film about the birth of Christ, and it blew us away. We want to do your show." And I was really excited. And then they said, "We want to raise the money through crowdfunding," and I got really depressed, because I just thought, the all-time crowdfunding record is 5.7 million, and all those shows that were crowdfunded like that were already famous. They already had a big fan base. We have nothing, and you know, I think a decent budget for season one would be $8 million. And you know, I know that's not a lot compared to Hollywood, but I think it's enough to make something quality. And they said, "We can do this," and I just thought it was ridiculous. I thought there was no chance. But, you know, coming off of the career disappointment, I thought, what have I got to lose?
Yeah.
And again, long story short, 15,000 people from around the world raised over $10 million. And so we've got some little money for marketing, a little money for legal fees and fundraising fees and all that. And then we had enough to do these episodes, these first four, at $1 million apiece. And we got four more coming this summer that we're going to be shooting. And so that allowed us to get just enough to do what I think you're talking about, which is making sure that it looks real, it looks authentic, it doesn't look like something we just kind of quickly put together. And so that allowed us to, again, we were still pretty strapped. I mean, a 2,000-year-old story is not exactly easy to tell. but I think because we focused on the relationships, this isn't a big epic sword and sandals battle movie. You know, these are intimate episodes about relationships, and so we didn't try to do Game of Thrones or one of these big, huge budgeted projects. We just kind of kept it simple, kept it focused on the people.
It's simple though, but it's very effective, and it pulls you right in. I mean, I wasn't sitting there going, "Oh, that kind of looks like they threw that together." I mean, it was really, like I said, it was really surprising. It shocked me, the quality of it all, just cinematography and the sets. Where did you guys film?
We filmed it in Texas. So God bless Texas. But we, there was out in the middle of nowhere, this woman that has built this small set. It's called Capernaum Village. It's kind of a first century recreation of first century Capernaum. which is where the story takes place. And so we shot for a couple weeks there, and then we went to a sound stage. Wow. and shot there. So the topography, there's certain parts of Texas that make it look right.
Yeah.
And then we were able to build a lot of stuff and just make it look as authentic as possible.
Yeah, that's amazing. I was sitting there going, this looks like you guys went on location, but obviously in the film business, you can find scout locations and find other places. What's been, and we have about a minute left, we're talking to Dallas Jenkins, who's really the creative force behind The Chosen, and we just praise the Lord for that. TheChosen.tv, you can watch the first episode for free, the full thing, eight episodes coming to VidAngel, their streaming service this fall. What's been your favorite thing of doing this film so far, Dallas, and then what can we have to look forward to? So we have those eight episodes, and what's going to happen after that?
Yeah, so, well, to be clear, there's four episodes available now. We've got there's four more that we're shooting this summer. You know, honestly, I'm the kind of person who I don't enjoy making movies or shows as much as I enjoy having made them. when I'm making them, it's really a slog. My favorite part has been just the last 2 days. I didn't anticipate the kind of reaction we would get. People writing us and Facebook messaging us saying they're just how blown away they were.
Yeah.
And we've been hearing from parents. I didn't expect children to like this as much because it's not necessarily like a typical Sunday school type project, but people saying my 8-year-old didn't want to stop watching. My 14-year-old loved it. But just the people saying I'm brought closer to Jesus. I'm brought closer to God watching these episodes. That's been by far my favorite thing.
That's so amazing. Well, Dallas, we're excited to talk about it. I'm excited and thankful that you were able to carve out some time with us today. And I know it just released TheChosen.tv. You can watch the first one for free. There's four available the rest of the season coming out this fall on VidAngel. TheChosen.tv. Dallas, we're going to have Rabbi Jason Sobel on next, so we'll keep talking about it. But thanks for your time today, brother.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right, man. We'll talk to you again later. Thanks so much. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. And again, I wouldn't be talking to you about it if I hadn't seen it myself. TheChosen.tv. It's just fantastic. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show, talking about just a great new blessing for us, followers of Christ, and hopefully people that don't know the Lord will watch this as well. It's called The Chosen, and you can start watching it right now, TheChosen.tv. It's also going to be streaming this fall. That's predominantly what it's aiming for on VidAngel. Great, you've probably heard of VidAngel, but their streaming service as well. And eight episodes in this first season, and I had a chance and was blessed to be able to watch the first four. They're just beautiful, super well done, and especially this week, the Holy Week, really pulled me into the story in a slightly different way. But it was remarkable. I just was pulled in immediately and enjoyed all four episodes. You can watch the first one for free, and then check out the rest when you sign up for VidAngel. I don't know exactly how that works, but just go to thechosen.tv. And you can check it out for yourself, especially this week. And I would say, 6, 7, 8-year-old too would be able to thoroughly enjoy this. But one of the tricks when you're dealing with something like this, if you're going to come at the gospel narratives, is staying true, not just to the gospel narratives and what we find in scriptures about Jesus Christ himself and the apostles and the situation and what happened at the time, but the context of it all. First century Rome, first century Judea, everything there has to be checked against the not only the narrative, but biblical record and the archaeological record. You want it to be accurate. So a lot of us, we know a lot of Christians. You may know a few Jewish people, but you probably don't know many that are both. So always a fascinating perspective, and so excited to welcome Rabbi Jason Sobel to the show. Rabbi, thanks for calling in. How are you?
Shalom, shalom. It's great to be with you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for being able to call in at such a kind of a last moment's notice, and appreciate that. So before we dive into the movie, I would love for you to just share with us a little bit about your own personal testimony and how you came to know Christ as your Messiah.
Yeah, I grew up in a traditional Jewish family in the Holy Land, New Jersey, where there were more Jews than in Jerusalem. And I was working in the music industry, actually, in New York City, trying to pursue fame and fortune among the rock stars and the rap stars. Said to myself, there has to be more to life than just this. Began a spiritual journey, and one day I basically became a Jubu, kind of like would study with my rabbi, but wanted an encounter with God, so started to study Eastern philosophy and religion. And one day I was meditating, and my soul left my body, and I had a outer body, my spirit left my body, I went into heaven. I had an encounter with this king on this throne, high and lifted up, and I knew it was Yeshua, Jesus. And he told me I was called to serve him. And the next thing I know, my best friend, John, who I shared, he called me on the phone. He said, Jason, I found the truth is like that Jesus is Lord and Savior. And then he began to say, you could tell the difference between the Old and the New Testament. Read to me a passage about Jesus on the cross. He said, that's the New Testament. He said, let me read you another verse. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, by his stripes were healed. And I said, that's obviously the New Testament. He said, no, that's Isaiah 53. The
53, yep. Wow. Yeah, hey, what's that doing in there?
Yeah. What's that? No idea.
So how did that?
My attention to that, yeah.
So all of a sudden, you're a follower of Jesus Christ. How did that go in the Holy Land of New Jersey?
Yeah, I mean, my parents thought I had joined a cult initially. They're like, go meet with the rabbi. So I had to get my Hebrew Bible out and sit down and study it and look at the job description of the Messiah. I had a really interesting conversation. But as my parents saw that my faith in Jesus, his Hebrew name was Yeshua, didn't make me less Jewish, but actually made me more Jewish, as I realized that all the things that I'd celebrated as a child and studied had way deeper significance than I even understood.
Oh, that's so amazing that it just kind of unlocks. I often say this to other people, Rabbi, when I meet other Christians, and whether it's here or somewhere around the country, anywhere in the world, that there's that immediate bond that we have in Christ through the Holy Spirit. And I always call it the secret decoder ring. And that's what, all of a sudden, you have that. You unlock God, unlock the rest of the scriptures to you, which then completes the entire thing. It's not like they're on separate sides of the room. They are obviously joined together at the hip by Christ on the cross itself. So that's so exciting. That's really great. What did you think when you first got invited to be a part of The Chosen? I was mentioning this earlier that I would, if I were involved in that film, I would be walking in there with great fear and trembling, coming at the scripture and coming at the gospel narratives in a creative way where you have to obviously respect and pay homage to and honor and follow what the scriptures teach, and not just that, but the context of the time. What was that like to get involved?
Yeah, I was really excited. I think first and foremost, well, there's always trepidation. I mean, you always want to do justice to the scriptures, to God's word. But I also realized that the heart of Dallas Jenkins and the other individuals behind it was to really try and honor the text and to try and really also bring it in the Jewish context as well. And so I really saw their heart behind it. And I also realized that there's so many people making movies. There's so many people watching all sorts of entertainment. Why not have good entertainment that's biblical? I think that's part of our responsibility.
I'd like to think so, yes. So what were all the different elements, Rabbi, that you had to pay attention to on set and the writing and the script? There's a lot to wrestle with there.
Oh, there's a lot. I mean, from very simple things such as names. Making sure, you know, characters that are not biblical characters actually have names that reflect first century. I also think that you have to look at, you know, just you have to look at clothing and dress, what they're wearing, you know, making sure that fits the time period. I mean, it's just tons of details from, you know, what type of candles did they use? What did houses look like? I mean, there's all sorts of different questions that you have to wrestle with. When you're dealing with these sorts of issues.
Probably, and obviously a thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly Jewish context, the most Jewish context that we can imagine. And so that was, it was interesting to watch, and I can't remember the actor's name that plays Nicodemus. He's famous. People have seen him time and time again. But especially that when you're dealing with Sadducees and Pharisees and somebody like Nicodemus, what all do you have at your disposal to do that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's even things like one of the episodes is Jesus, and he's praying with the children. And so they're praying Jewish prayers. Or the Shabbat dinner. There's a Shabbat dinner that's a key to one of the episodes. Sabbath dinner, Friday night, the traditional Friday night dinner that Jesus would have celebrated with his disciples. So making sure that the order of it, the structure of it, the prayers of it, the Hebrew, that all of that are authentic and actually correct. And so we definitely made tweaks as we went along.
And so now that you've been able to see it, and I know you guys are working on the next four episodes, and a buddy of mine that's involved was talking about, the end goal would be seven seasons, 56 episodes to go through the entire life of Christ, which is so exciting. And we all need to be praying, not just praying for it, but getting involved in supporting it as well, which is why you need to go to thechosen.tv, watch the first one for free, then you can get in on the rest of them. Thechosen.tv, and especially this being the Holy Week, what a great way to start. But as you encounter them, the finished product, Rabbi, I mean, how did it affect you being able to kind of come at the Gospels in a different direction? And then why would you encourage everybody else, especially us believers, to watch The Chosen?
Yeah, I mean, I was really impacted by it. I think the what I love about the series is a focus on how the lives of the individuals that encountered Jesus were transformed and changed as a result of it. That's one of the things that I think that's uniquely different about the series, where the series is most, a lot of other things are focused on the spotlights on Jesus, but not on the people who are encountering him. Yeah. I love this, the encounter that leads to the life transformation and redemption in people's lives. That's one thing I love about it. Obviously, another thing I love about it is that it's rare that you get the real Jewish Jesus. And I think that people have settled for half an inheritance. Jesus says, what can a scribe who understands the kingdom of God be compared to like a household that brings forth old and new treasures? And I feel like this takes the Jewish roots and foundation and brings it forth in a way that's creative and relevant in a modern context, which I love as well.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that we definitely need. You know, you understand this in the Christian church and here in the Western world, especially the Old Testament is like, yeah. We don't really pay that much attention to it. We call ourselves New Testament Christians, but in this series in The Chosen, it had to have been gratifying to be able to kind of work that reality that exists between the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the real things that drew me into wanting to be part of this project to begin with. And I just think, especially at this season, we need to understand that. I mean, this isn't, hopefully we'll touch on this, at some point, but I think that The Chosen, but it's like, even we're coming on Good Friday, we're coming to the day that he died, and people don't even ask the question of why he had to die on the cross. And think about it, and man stole from a tree, so God puts back on the tree for you and me what the first man and woman couldn't. Crown of thorns on his head, because the curse of creation was the ground would produce thorns and thistles. So he's literally taken the curse of creation on himself to reverse and restore the blessing. And I love the fact that The Chosen very creatively is trying to bring those roots back to Western audience.
Oh yeah, and it's thoroughly Jewish, which is what's so beautiful about it from that context. And again, that's something that it's like we settle for half the colors in the rainbow in order to paint this whole picture. But in The Chosen, you get them all, which is so beautiful. TheChosen.tv, that's where you can start watching it. Then the full season starts this fall on VidAngel. Rabbi Jason Sobel, by the way, a little birdie in my ear told me you can do a Passover rap. Unfortunately, we don't have time for it today, but I'll get back in touch with you and we'll have you back on.
North Carolina, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that's right. All right, we'll do that again. I'll get you back on soon. Thank you, brother. God bless you. We'll talk to you later. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. So, turning the corner now as we continue to talk about how we can impact the culture around us with media, specifically with movies. So, you got a book. All right, you got a book. It came out, a few years ago, 1678. Then it gets to number six, basically, on some of the information that I found. Number six on the worldwide bestseller list, 150 million copies. What do you do with that? I mean, duh, it's the 21st century. You turn it into a movie. The book is Pilgrim's Progress. The movie comes out. It's a Fathom event, so special one night only. So, but this week it's actually two. Perfect timing with Easter week. We have all kinds of opportunities to really deepen our understanding and our appreciation of this Holy Week as followers of Jesus Christ. So tomorrow night, the 18th, and again on the 20th, Fathom Events, Pilgrim's Progress is out there for your taking after all these years turned into an awesome movie. Pilgrims.movie is the website, so you can find a theater near you. Pilgrims.movie. Get there as soon as you can. And my buddy Mark Harper, we've known each other for several years. Mark's been involved in the movie industry and a lot of other ministries for many years. And Mark, thanks so much for calling in today. How are you, man?
Hey, doing great, Steve. Thanks for having me. You just said everything about the movie.
that.
Have a nice day. Talk to you later. Anyway, I mean, how did you find out about this, and what was your initial response? I mean, this is obviously one of the classic pieces of literature in the history of mankind, but going from that to a movie, pretty daunting task. So how did you get involved, and tell us about it?
Well, I don't know about all your listeners, but for me, I still owe my English teacher a book report on Pilgrim's Progress. I never read it in high school. And I actually do know a lot of people that know about the book, but they don't know the story.
Sure.
And this is the very first time it's been made into a movie that releases in theaters. Interestingly, in the late 70s, Liam Neeson's first acting job was playing the role of Evangelist in a direct-to-video version. And his second job was in the sequel. Yeah, kind of fun.
He's a man with a particular set of skills. That's pretty amazing.
So, you know, what's amazing to me that I've seen the movie now probably 14, 15 times, shared it with a lot of people, is how much more relevant the allegory is now than even when it was written in the late 1600s. And that this is a story about the journey of every believer. We all go on a journey. We all vary from the path in different ways. The enemy is all about trying to distract us and, you know, get us off the journey completely. There's hardships. The journey doesn't stop when the burden is removed. There's so much teaching in this story. Every single place, every single character, Bunyan was teaching us something about the principle of following God. So pretty amazing. I think this is a great way to reboot it. It's an instant family classic. It's something that you really don't want to miss seeing on the big screen, you know, brought to life.
Yeah.
In your popcorn, reclining, and then talking about it with your kids afterward.
Well, that's why it's such an intellectually and creative way to engage the mind about the things of God and about not just the scriptures and what we learn there, but our own walks as followers of Jesus Christ. To me, it's very similar for whatever reason. It's kind of interesting. When I got saved in 1994, Mark, the very first Christian book I read besides starting to read the Bible was the Screwtape Letters. So that's this kind of bizarre reverse engineering look at the truths of Scripture. And in this case, going through the Pilgrim's Progress is very much a similar approach to that allegory and talking the story. And Bunyan, as he goes through this experience, leaving the land that he was in, which, of course, is our past, and then discovering the truth, and then that journey until he ends up in the Celestial City. There really is, it's packed with meaning and it's packed with purpose. What's it like to work on an animated feature like this?
Well, this is the first animated movie I've really worked on, and I think because it's accessible to all generations, this is something grandparents can take their kids and their grandkids to. It's exciting because it's something that's multi-generational. When you look at just the oral tradition of stories passing down from one generation to the other, this really is, I think, a neat reboot for the story. I got to give some props to the director and producer. The producer, Steve Cleary, he did the film Tortured for Christ.
Oh, man.
And he produced that with Voice of the Martyrs and for Voice of the Martyrs. And he was mentored by Richard and Sabina Wormbrand. And they used to tell him, make films and write books because they will outlive you. And the director, Robert Fernandez, and the writer, he's been doing animation for 25, 30 years. And they just collaborated and said, what could we do that could touch the world? That would be a legacy project, and Pilgrim's Progress became that. And it started 5 years ago with a vision. 2 years ago, they kicked off a Kickstarter. They had over 4,000 donors get involved in animating the first scene or funding the first scene, and then it just turned into an official film release. So launches in theaters, and this is cool. Your audience will appreciate this. The same week it's releasing here in theaters, it's going to be shown on Iran television, reaching 5 million homes.
Farsi. Every once in a while, the Lord just likes to do something to remind us that he's the Lord and we're not. Because the last country on the face of the planet I would expect the Pilgrim's Progress to be shown in would be Iran. But that's the beautiful thing about the fact that it's an allegory is it's not obvious. And but golly, right. How did that happen? Other than the obvious that God opened that door, what was the mechanism by which all that took place? That's remarkable, Mark.
Dr. Hormoz Sherat is a friend of the ministry. He runs Iran Alive. And they began to talk about this. You know, in China, Pilgrim's Progress, you can get thrown in jail if you're caught with Pilgrim's Progress in your possession, just like the Bible. And in Iran, there's actually more Christians coming to Christ now in the last couple years than all the other millennial, you know, all the other years ahead of it. So a lot of exciting things. We're also translating it into Korean, Mandarin, Spanish, and a couple other languages. Our goal is to get it to be the most translated translated animated movie of all time.
Wow.
And either Pinocchio or Frozen holds that record right now with about 52 languages, and we want to get up to 100 languages. Like you mentioned, the book, it's actually 200 million copies.
Oh, my goodness.
Second most distributed book in the world, and it has 200 languages. It's never been out of print.
That's just mind-boggling going all the way back to the late 1600s. It's just remarkable. You know, and that's the thing. What have you guys determined, or what have you experienced in screenings and stuff with people that have been able to see it so far? And again, we're talking to Mark Harper from Pilgrim's Progress. Pilgrims.movie is the website you can get to and find a theater near you. Tomorrow night, the 18th, and then again on Friday, the 20th. Pilgrims.movie is the website. But how have people reacted? Because this, if you pick up Pilgrim's Progress today, it's not an easy read because it's written, obviously, over 300 years ago, and it's written in that dialect. It's that kind of language. It's very heady. But an incredibly captivating story. But how have people responded to it?
Yeah, great question. Everybody loves it. We just posted on our Facebook page some audience reactions, all generations. I mean, I've seen little girls 4 years old that love the movie. Now, I will say the MPAA gave it a PG rating because of some action violence where Christian is battling Apollyon, and then there are some scary demons in the film, but the movie trailer really gives a snapshot of all of that, and it really just depends on what a family watches. But I've seen all ages, and we've gotten great reactions. I mean, everybody's just really applauding the effort and how it makes the story accessible.
Yeah, because even though, I mean, in the book itself, obviously, it's an unfamiliar type of writing, a type of language to us in the 21st century. But the movie itself is not. You know, I've seen the whole thing except when you guys finished off the Celestial Kingdom part, and I'm looking forward to seeing that. But watching the whole thing as a mature Christian, I mean, the applications to modern day life as a Christian and a follower and the going through the journey that we all do. They were obvious. They were super obvious. And so you've seen that. It's been really effective with the children as well, right?
That's right. Yep. Kids, elementary. We recommend ages 8 and up. Like I said, there's been younger kids that see it, love it, get things from it. And it just makes for a great conversation for the years to come. All of us, if we understand there's hardships ahead, it doesn't change who God is. We're all on the journey together. The goal is to get to the celestial city with the king. We'd have a lot more Christians enduring in their faith.
That's exactly right. Pilgrims.movie is the website. Pilgrims.movie is the website of Fathom Release. So it's tomorrow night, the 18th, and then again on the 20th. And if it does well over these next couple of days, Mark, will it have another shot at it with Fathom events later in the year?
We're hearing good reactions that there's going to be an encore date, they call it. So we're just waiting to hear that announcement, and we'll get the word out. But, Steve, you're awesome. Thank you for your support. And I know you've been very supportive of many of these films, Unplanned and Woodlawn, and I can only imagine so many others. So thank you.
Absolutely. You're very welcome, and thanks for all your work, Mark, and your friendship. Thanks for calling in today. We appreciate it.
Hey, we'll talk to you later.
All right, pal. Thanks. Be good. And that was Mark Harper. He and I have known each other for probably 8 or 9 years, and he's been on stuff with the Irwin Boys. When I say the Irwin Boys, that's I Can Only Imagine and Woodlawn and October Baby and Mom's Night Out. And it's just wonderful to meet these types of men and women that are in that industry. This is an industry that the world is listening to, which is why we have to be there. But again, you know the lesson if you've listened to the show for any period of time, but that these things are great. They show up. But if we're not out there and supporting them, they go away pretty quick. But again, this is over 200 million copies distributed worldwide. Absolutely remarkable. All the way back to 1678. Just mind-boggling. Pilgrim's Progress. I had read it years and years and years ago as some assignment in some school at some point. So to rediscover it has been really cool, and it's really a neat movie. And the fact that it's animated, really even more captivating for little kids. But the content is so thick. And the reality is so true for all of us as we journey with Christ. The Pilgrim's Progress does a great job of bringing that out and making us all understand. It's not like you get saved and you stop. You get saved and you go. And you work and you experience and you love and you serve and you give. And then eventually we're out of here. In the meantime, it's a journey. Pilgrims.movie is the website, pilgrims.movie. 800 theaters nationwide tomorrow night, April 18th, and then again on Friday, April 20th. Tomorrow, it'll be Theology Thursday. We're going to do some of the apologetics behind the resurrection. Got a great philosophy and PhD student coming in that this is his wheelhouse. So we're going to talk kind of the apologetics of Easter tomorrow. On Theology Thursday, I'm going to take Good Friday off, spend that day with my family, as I hope you will do the same thing. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon. And like my dad always said, ever forward.